Before we get into the entire podcast on Turnbuckle Trash, we'd like to take just a minute to give our prayers and our thoughts to those in Broward County, Florida. The shooting that took place this afternoon, when we're recording this on Wednesday, Valentine's Day, where at least 14 people were injured, not known yet at this time how many people were killed, but there were fatalities. Evidently, it was at a freshman center at a high school in Broward County, Florida. And we just have to talk about this way too much, but our thoughts and prayers are with you in Broward County, Florida, and any place else where someone is thinking seriously about taking a life. Just think about it, and think about all the tragedy and all the heartbreak that you're bringing upon yourself, your family, and those who love the ones you're thinking about harming. It's not a good solution. Please think. Get help.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective, with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Today, on a special edition of Turnbuckle Trash, we're going to talk with Chris on the mat. Chris and I will discuss a lot of things about professional wrestling, including his take on some of the things that happened during the Royal Rumble. Then we'll be joined by Kelly. He's really been watching and enjoying the Mixed Match Challenge. We're going to excuse Zane and Ajay today because we've got a special edition of Turnbuckle Trash. Let's get it started right now.
It's Chris on the match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
The guy didn't get cracked open. He wasn't really wrestling.
Chris. On the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
We're joined today with Chris Evans, Chris on the mat, big wrestling fan. And Chris, first off, what did you think of Raw 25th anniversary?
Well, that was the biggest sleeping pill that I've ever had with the 25th anniversary of Raw. So I don't know. I mean, you bring all these people back for the 25th anniversary and you have people come out and just wave. And you have poker. Okay. Yeah. Really? This is it?
Yeah.
And you have the Undertaker's promo, which didn't make a bit of sense.
No, it didn't, did it?
It didn't make any sense. I mean, are you back? Are you going to go against somebody? Or you're just saying, hi, I'm here.
Hello.
Hello, that's it. Did you know how much the price of those tickets were for the when they went to the old Manhattan Center?
Oh, how much?
$800.
I don't think so.
$800.
To see the Undertaker come out there and cut a promo, you're going, what?
And they saw the revival. Well, they saw the burial of the revival.
I didn't understand what that was going to accomplish. Because they're kind of giving the revival a little bit of a push, and then they take them to that 25th anniversary show, and then DX and all the old guys beat up on them,
mm-hmm.
and then they get beat by Gallows and Anderson, then the pre-show, Royal Rumble, revival wins, and then, I don't know.
I'm saying the same thing. You're burying a tag team so badly. Why? These guys are good.
Oh, I love them. I think they're awesome.
Yeah, I do too. I like the Revival. I really do. One of them reminds me of Arn Anderson.
Did you ever watch any matches when Ole Anderson and Arn teamed up, or when Ole and his brother teamed up as the Minnesota Wrecking Crew?
Yes, I have on YouTube, and it is some of the most awesome matches I have ever seen.
They are physical, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And you know what? Arn Anderson hasn't missed a step. I mean, he was involved in a match it was a couple of months ago, and he did his spine buster.
Wow.
So he hadn't missed a beat. Yeah, I miss Arn Anderson. He was a heck of a wrestler. Heck of a wrestler.
It's a shame.
I loved it.
Yeah, it's a shame that his arm had that nerve damage in it. And that's why he had to retire probably before his career was really through. But yeah, he was a great performer. Let me ask you a question, Chris. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Injuries are starting to pop up their ugly head again with the injury of Paige. Although she was out there with Absolution the other night, she's not doing anything physical yet. Evidently, she has retired from the ring. And then on Monday Night Raw this past week, they did the angle where Jason Jordan had a neck injury that was just diagnosed when he was doing his neck curls, is what he said. And he actually had surgery this week. He's going to be out for a while. So mm-hmm. what does that do now? You've got Dean Ambrose out. They had a good thing with the Revival of the Shield. Then they bring in Jason Jordan to team up with Seth Rollins. And now Jason Jordan's going to be out. Seth is kind of out in the cold. He's been teaming with Roman again a little bit. And I've been reading that at some of the other events, he's going to be teaming with Finn Balor. What are they trying to accomplish with all this? Why don't they just say, okay, Seth, you're going to go solo right now? So,
well, that's what they need to do with Seth. I mean, I liked him better as a heel than I do a babyface right now. Seth Rollins is one of the best workers that the WWE has. I mean, he's a good talk on the mic. He's good. He's an in-ring good performer. Sometimes he's kind of reckless. I was really surprised that they brought back this curb stomp. Again. But here's a question for you. If Jason Jordan, if he's out and he's got a neck injury, wouldn't they want to use that as a storyline, like father, like son?
You would think. I never thought of that. Yeah, that might be in the future. I haven't heard how long he's going to be out, but if it's a similar situation to some of the other neck injury surgeries, it's going to be almost a year.
Yeah, I thought about that. I was like, okay, they're going to use this as a storyline, like father, like son.
Yeah. What's the matter? You got weak neck genes or something there, Kurt?
Yep, there we go. I mean, that would be a perfect storyline. I mean, yeah. If you really want something started, get that going. On the anniversary of Raw, nobody likes this guy. Nobody likes him. The fans are turning against him. And they're going to get a storyline between him and Seth now that this neck injury's happened. That's 86. Uh-huh. With all the injuries that's going on, I don't know. These guys are just, they're dropping like flies.
I go back to what Zane says one time. They work about 300 nights out of the year. And maybe that's just too hard on the bodies. You know, maybe they should try to cut them back to 250 and then... let you know a couple of them rest when they're on tour, just do something better with their house shows, to let these guys let their bodies heal just a little bit in between some matches and some nagging injuries. I'm wondering if Zane isn't right about making sure that they need to get this situation a little bit better handled. I don't know what the answer is, but they really need to be looking at that. So.
Yeah, I think Zane is correct on that part. These guys go through, and ladies go through, way, way too much physical attributes that they have. But, I mean, think about it. You and me, we couldn't get in that ring and try what they do. Heck, NFL stars that have gone in there have said that they're more athletic than the regular NFL player. Uh-huh. Lawrence Taylor, when he was in WrestleMania, they said that he was almost on oxygen after he got done with Bam Bam Bigelow. I mean, he couldn't take it. I mean, but think about it. These guys, 365 days a year, they're on the road. They have to do with nagging injuries. And with all the stuff that's going on with the steroid controversy with Roman Reigns. Yeah, me and I agree. Yeah, they need something to help them, but steroids? No, they don't need that. They just need some time off. But with the way Vince is right now, he just pushes and pushes and pushes these people. I'm surprised that there's not more wrestlers that are out right now than a couple. I'm really surprised. With Paige, I saw the video, and I'm surprised her neck did what it did.
Ooh,
but that,
man,
but that kick,
yeah.
But that kick, nobody saw that coming.
A couple weeks ago, you had Sasha Banks against Asuka, and Sasha was doing a dive in between the ropes at Asuka, and the spot didn't work, and Asuka was supposed to kick her. And I really thought that Sasha was going to break her neck the way she fell. My own opinion is Asuka wasn't in the right position.
No, she wasn't. Because if you noticed, if you did notice when she went to go do the front kick, she missed Sasha within a mile. Mm-hmm. There was just air. When I saw it, I cringed and I went, oh my gosh, I know how that feels. I've done that in martial arts before. And it does not feel good. You have to. I'm surprised Sasha didn't do any severe damage when she dove through those ropes. Mm-hmm. But then here comes Mick Foley with his arms out going, please don't do that again.
Don't do that, Sasha.
Oh, come
don't
on.
Do that.
Oh, come on, Mick. Are you supposed to be Mr. Rogers now? Come on, now. It's a beautiful day in your neighborhood. Have a baseball bat while you're at it. Come on, dude.
Okay, Mrs. Page, make sure you put on your jacket now, maybe a little sweater. Yeah, let's all be friends and neighbors.
Hey, I think we got a new line for Mick Foley when he comes, if he tries to come back. You're going to be Mr. Rogers now.
Yeah. Put him in a cardigan sweater.
Yeah, put him in that. And then he said, okay, now, boys and girls, this is how you wrap a barbed wire around a baseball bat. Now show me how you do this again.
Yes,
now, come on,
boys and girls. And
yes.
Here's Mr. Sacco. Yes, look. Yeah. He's going to be our neighbor.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Could you see him going to the land of make believe? To the land of make believe? No.
So
go ahead.
You cracked me up, my man.
I'm sorry.
So getting back to the situation with the tag team.
Yes, sir.
We've got the Revival, and then we have Gallo and Anderson of the Balor Club. So what are they going to be doing now with Finn Balor teaming up with Seth Rollins? Are they going to continue this push with the Revival and maybe get Gallows and Anderson a little bit more? Are they going to bury them again, which would be a shame?
Get the shovel ready because they're fixing to be buried. And look, they have buried Finn Balor so badly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that man should have the Universal title around his waist, right? And please tell me I'm wrong or right. Shouldn't he have already had his rematch by now?
You know,
for the Universal title?
They dropped that whole thing as soon as he came back. You know, they didn't work that right. They should have had him immediately going back at after it. But, you know, I'm sitting there thinking when you're saying they buried him, I'm sitting there saying, and Mr. Sacco helped.
Mr. Sacco helped, all right. It's comical the way that they're doing the WWE right now. Like I said, I keep going back on the 25th anniversary. Yeah, it was great to see everybody. It was great to see the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. It was great to see all the divas. But you've got all this talent that is brand new. It's time to start pushing these people. You've got to push people, but they just don't do it. So,
We'll have more from Chris Evans in just a little bit, but coming up, we're going to talk to Kelly, who's really been enjoying the Mixed Match Challenge. So we'll talk to him about that and some of the other things happening in professional wrestling here on Turnbuckle Trash.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No, no, no. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh. Ooh, podcasting.
You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
More trash is on the way on TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's gotta hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were wrestling?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
On Turnbuckle Trash right now, we're joined by Kelly Denton, who happens to be my nephew, also a big wrestling fan. And Kelly, the other day on our Facebook page on Turnbuckle Trash, you were talking about the new tournament that is going on in the WWE. They call it the Mixed Match Challenge. This is where they have teams of a man and a woman actually tag teaming against another tag team of a man and a woman. How's it been going so far, Kelly?
Well, it's been interesting, you know. I mean, it's been fun. I mean, this is just kind of like a off the wall thing that they're doing, and the wrestlers seem to be having a lot of fun with it, which is cool. Makes it really entertaining. For as far as I'm concerned, I've been entertained by it.
So they're basically doing what would usually happen in a mixed match tag team, where the men fight the men and the women fight the women, right?
Well, that's how WWE has done it for a while. You know, gone are the days where China would get in the ring with Triple H and, you know, do what they would do, or, you know, whoever China would go against at the time. And they don't do that anymore. The women, if it gets the men, they just, I guess they just feel that it's too much of a hot button issue for, you know, woman, you know, violence against women. So I guess that's how they do it. But yeah, that's how they're doing this tournament. Yeah.
You know, Lucha Underground is the women taking on the men all the time, you know. So I understand why they're doing it that way, because that's one of the problems I have with Lucha Underground. Even though I love the product, I'm not really wild about the men going against the women. And then, you know, well, that's just because violence against women really just irks my soul, you know.
It's a really big hot button issue, and yeah, it can be uncomfortable to watch. I was just gonna say, this tournament has really kind of gotten away from that, because the participants, like I said, they're having fun with it. That's part of the difference. Is, you know, that when Strowman and Bliss got together, I guess they called themselves I can't remember what the team name was, but they pretended to be like, you know, well, you're cute. And your show was going, yeah, you're cute. You know, it's just pretty fun. And, you know, Big E and Carmella came out with the matching tights, and they've kind of done that with some of the other ones. They came out.
I know
last
that
night,
Sami Zayn and Becky Lynch called themselves the Ginger Snaps.
The Ginger Snaps. That was cute, I suppose. They're both red hair.
Yeah.
One thing I got to say is, until last night, all of these matches have turned out exactly the way I expected them to. You know, as far as who was going to win and et cetera. I honestly, as far as last night goes, I did not expect Rusev and Lana to take that, because, well, you know, it's Lana. his, I really didn't expect it. Both teams were getting, been getting a major push. You got Elias, who's been getting a real big push. And happy Rusev Day, by the way.
Yeah, happy, by the way, happy Rusev Day to you, too. So
absolutely.
I love that. I really do.
I do, too. I've been enjoying that. And, of course, one thing I did notice, I'm going to bring this up real quick. The Bulgarian Brute has been really showing off his Nashville side. He's singing Lana is the best, Lana's number one, but it's obvious that he's been living in the South for a while because it's Lana is the best, Lana's number one. He's really showing off.
It kind of rubs off on me a little bit.
I suppose it does, but, I didn't used to, when I was living out there in the out West, I didn't have as much of an accent as I do now. But, when you're supposed to be Bulgarian and you're supposed to be scary, I just don't know if that's the best way to get your point across. Lana is the best. I was just saying. Balor and Sasha, but like you said, I expected them to win because, well, it's Finn Balor and Sasha Banks.
Uh-huh.
Gotta also pay attention to these charities that they're giving to. And one of them is, what was it? I actually think it's The Miz and Oscar were doing this one. Their charity was WWE's charity. The kid who died.
Connor's Cure.
Connor's Cure. I couldn't remember the name of it. So, yeah. My unprofessional opinion, I'm pretty sure that that's going to be the team to win because it's their own charity, for goodness sake. So I don't see anybody else taking it from them. Yeah, I don't remember a whole lot about the match with Sasha and Balor, except they were basically trying to, Sasha came out with a black, leather jacket on, similar to Balor's. Everybody's been trying to match up.
Uh-huh.
And, the Mandy Rose and Goldust, it was supposed to be, the other diva. I mean, you don't even call them divas anymore.
Paige?
No, not Paige. Oh, but what? Did you watch 205 at all? Do you watch 205 Live at all?
Not at all, no.
Anyway, she got injured, and they just had to throw Mandy Rose with Goldust pretty much at the last second.
Uh-huh.
And at the same time, I thought they matched well together. And because the teams don't make a whole lot of sense, you got some heels teaming with faces. And it all seems to be SmackDown versus Raw at the same time. Mm-hmm. But, Strowman is getting very over, and Bliss is over in her own heel way. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Exactly, yeah.
And Zayn and Lynch didn't make a whole lot of sense. Of course, Jimmy Uso and Naomi made perfect sense. They seem to be uh-huh. doing that. Go ahead.
Does
either
team take on the heel role, or do they just... I mean, like you said, here you've got Asuka and The Miz. Let's just put those two together. Asuka is a face on Raw, and The Miz is a big time heel who gets a little bit of face heat. But is any of them really taking on that role during the matches?
Well, and look at that opposite match that you're talking about, Big E and Carmella. Big E is
right.
In New Day rocks, and Carmella is, fabulous, I guess, is what she has written on her. And they kind of, their characters don't exactly match, so to speak. But, yeah, I mean, they're people, so, get them together, and they have a lot of fun. That was a good match to watch, too.
Did Big E bring out pancakes?
I'm pretty sure he brought out some pancakes. He's been bringing out pancakes. When the hell did that start? I don't even remember when that started. I'm just all of a sudden looking at pancakes. Oh, when did this start? Where's the waffles? But
in the morning, I'm going to make waffles.
Like last night it was Elias and Bailey.
Uh-huh.
And, the two don't really, and they showed the clip of them together, and it doesn't look like they would actually mix well together. But they got in the ring. And they were in there playing guitars together at the beginning, and they got interrupted by Rusev and Lana, which was kind of disappointing because I was enjoying the two of them playing the guitars together. I'm a big Elias fan, so.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also a big Bayley fan. It was kind of disappointing, but I really thought those two were going to win. But I guess the Rusev Lana push is a little more along the lines of what they needed for this tournament, I suppose.
Yeah, when Lana was in the Women's Royal Rumble, I heard her yell out at one point, "This is Lana's day," when the crowd was chanting Rusev Day.
Yeah.
So I think that they're probably getting the push because of the Rusev Day chants, which is just hilarious. You know, I bought myself a Rusev Day T-shirt.
Oh, I've seen the picture. Yeah,
I love it, and I was wearing it yesterday. By the way, and mm-hmm. I was at a local store and ran into some friends of mine, and they had their daughter with them. And the daughter just kept on staring at me, and I'm going, okay, what the? And she says, "What does your shirt say?" And I looked at her and just said, "Happy Rusev Day." And what is Rusev Day? So I had to explain it to her. Yeah, it was hilarious. The look on her face was just like, oh, okay. I love it when I get to do things like that.
One thing that they did say, though, is that match that Lana actually got the three count on was the first match that Lana has won in her illustrious WWE career. So on a Facebook match, a Facebook watch match, that's the first time they actually let her get a pin.
Oh, that's
but
awesome.
That's, yeah, so it became Ravishing Rusev Day. Ravishing Rusev Day. Because
right.
She's the Ravishing Lana, and it was her win. So mm-hmm. with her win, they celebrated with Ravishing Rusev Day. Which
it just adds
to the fun of it.
Yeah.
And like I said, every time I hear him sing the Lana song with his Bulgarian Nashville accent, I just have to giggle.
You know, I thought the stuff that they did with Aiden English around Christmas time when he was doing "Oh Rusev Day" to the tune of "Oh Christmas Tree."
I
just
Tree.
Thought that was hilarious. Man, I laughed until I could. I hurt. I was laughing
it
so
was,
hard when I
was,
saw that.
It was
so.
Funny. It was very funny.
Yeah.
I miss Aiden English. I mean, putting him together with Rusev was nice, but now he's got back together with Lana. Where's Aiden English at?
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
They should have brought him out there and let him sing about those two together and done something.
Would have been something. But then again, you know, they get basically less than half an hour for each of these matches. That includes introductions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so all of these have been less than half an hour programs.
So, I was going to ask you about, so it's on Facebook, and then I think it's also on the network. You can see it later, but it is live on Facebook, and then they go into 205 Live, right?
You know what? I'm not entirely sure how they do that, to be honest with you. I've lost track of 205 Live.
Uh-huh.
I used to go over to a friend's house on Wednesday evenings and watch NXT, and then we'd follow it up with 205 Live. Basically, we just gave up on 205 Live. It's just boring. You know, we still enjoy the NXT, but it would be interesting to see, though, whether they do the mixed match and then they go into the... Because I honestly couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Well, they've got a new general manager for 205 Live.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, the former rock star Spud from TNA Impact.
Drake
what
something.
Are they calling? Drake. That show just has a lot of problems. I think they should keep the cruiserweights and just make it part of Raw. You know, I really do. They always have some cruiserweight action on there, so why not make it just part of the program and make it mean something? So
like it used to.
Yeah.
Like it used to. They used to have one or two little cruiserweight shows sprinkled in there every week, and they're doing it this way now. They don't need their own show anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you got too many people there as it is. I mean, you look at 205's roster, what's left of it. You know, Enzo got fired. Neville just quit. What's his name? Rich Swann had his little, what we were talking about on the last one. It's just, 205 has been just kind of a bad luck show since it started.
Yeah.
It used to be entertaining. I mean, you had TJ Perkins, you know, and Spanky. I call him Spanky because that's what he used to be called here. Brian Kendrick.
Oh, the Brian Kendrick, yes.
The Brian Kendrick. Yeah, they had interesting storylines going together. I didn't care for Noam Dar. I liked Rich Swann and his little shtick, but, you know, the hell with him with what he supposedly did. And the other, Cedric Alexander, I was enjoying watching him because I watched the tournament, the Cruiserweight tournament that came on that introduced us all to these guys. And that was the only person that the crowd started chanting when the match was over, please hire Cedric, please hire Cedric.
Yeah.
And Triple H came out from backstage and pulled him back, you know, gave him a big hug and pulled him back and said to the audience, yeah, you got it.
Well, so Cedric was a pretty big star in ROH at the time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he was doing pretty good in Ring of Honor. And then, you know, he left, and a lot of people have left Ring of Honor. That have moved on to NXT. I mean, you've got Bobby Fish and can't remember his teammate, but anyway, they're from Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
War Machine is coming over to NXT from Ring of Honor.
I think you
said something about not being able to watch Ring of Honor because
I don't have
not
a televised here. Yeah, I don't have a televised here. Not that I've been able to find.
Yeah, if you get a chance, go on to ROH.com, just their regular website, and usually like Monday or Tuesday, they replay the show that played over the weekend on St. Clair Broadcasting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's really pretty good stuff.
I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, they have a wrestler on there I think you would really like. His name is Punishment Martinez. He almost has the look of an Undertaker. Not quite as tall, not quite as, you know, that type of character, but, you know, he's rough, tumble. He's got a deep, deep voice, good performer, got a great look for that type of wrestler. I think you really enjoy Punishment Martinez. He's one of my favorites there right now.
I'm definitely gonna have to check that out because I know of Ring of Honor. I've seen the old stuff, you know, back when Generation Next was doing their thing, and I know that that's where you know a lot of the wrestlers that are around now come from.
Yeah, you had Cesaro there, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. They were all there. AJ Styles performed there for a while before he went to New Japan. Yeah.
And Zane, if I'm not mistaken, he was El Generico at the time.
Yeah, if you want to see, I think you've heard Zane and I say this a couple of times on the podcast, but if you want to see one of the best ladder matches you ever want to see, look up Kevin Steen, the now Kevin Owens,
against El Generico.
It is incredible. It's one of the best ladder matches you'll ever want to see.
Really?
It is unreal, yes.
I may have seen it, but I honestly couldn't tell you. I've seen a lot of matches over the years on YouTube and stuff. I got friends across the street who introduced me to a lot of matches and a lot of wrestlers that I would have never known because, you know, I'm a mainstream WWE fan. I don't get a lot of the other programmings and I don't have a lot of time to watch them.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, so
I'm a little bit behind on WWE right now. And I've been watching Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and they had not this past weekend but the weekend before that, they had the All-American Jack Swagger, and he went against the Machine, Cage was in Lucha Underground, bodybuilder type, just huge muscles, but he can move like a cruiserweight. And that was an extremely entertaining match. I mean, it was so good. Some of the matches, you know, you're talking young talent and some of them don't even really have the look that they really need to succeed. But some of them are really good. I mean, there are some pretty good wrestling there on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. So there's a lot of product out there to see, I'll tell you that. Well, they're part of the, United Wrestling Network, which basically is kind of like the old NWA. It's just a lot of independent promoters.
Right.
Like the UCW Zero in Salt Lake City, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Every once in a while, you'll see some of their people come and go between the two. There's the Future Stars of Wrestling out of Las Vegas that has I think Gangrel helps them out, coaches and stuff down there. But
and this is real, honest to goodness, wrestling is like backyard stuff, is it?
No, this is small arenas. I mean, you're talking, 250, maybe 1,000 people at the most. The TV camera work is not quite as good, but these people are learning their craft too. It's interesting. It's fun to watch, so.
And where do you watch these at?
Championship Wrestling from Hollywood is on a channel called U2 America. Not YouTube, U2 America.
U2.
Yeah. And, you can catch, now on something called Twitch TV. I don't know if you've ever heard of Twitch.tv, I think is what it is.
No.
Yeah. They have the House of Hardcore. So what?
I've heard of them. I've heard of that.
Yeah. Twitch.tv, runs a regular program now, the House of Hardcore. And, who's performing on that now is our friend, the MK Bandit, who lives in Salt Lake City. He's a manager type. And, he's been performing with, the House of Hardcore and plus some other promotions around. And he's been on the podcast with us before.
Right.
And also they just announced on Twitch TV that you can get some Impact Wrestling on there too.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And that's another one that's just losing their talent is Impact.
I mean, yeah, they are. They're losing a lot of people.
I mean, it's becoming to where NXT was to NXT and A. I mean, really.
Yeah. But then you've got, EC3 that just showed up at their big takeover event.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to go through. I mean, everybody more or less goes through. Everybody except AJ Styles more or less goes through NXT.
Right.
I would think since EC3 already did his time with NXT, he would go ahead to a main roster. He's got the name. He's got the clout.
Yeah, but I think they're going to use him in NXT for a while because I saw him doing a backstage interview type thing the last time I checked in on NXT. But like I said, there's just plenty of product out there to watch if you look for it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to take a look through. I got plenty of time at dialysis, to watch stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And then you might want to check Pluto TV.
Pluto
that's
TV?
An app. Pluto TV. They run some Impact programming, and TNA programming.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one thing I like about Pluto TV, they have an entire channel dedicated to Mystery Science Theater 3000.
No kidding.
No kidding.
That's awesome.
24 hours of MST 3000.
That's awesome. Is all the new stuff, or do they have some of the older ones?
Oh, it's the old stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can go on Netflix and watch newer ones, and they're just not the same.
Yeah, that's what I understand. But what a great show that was, too. People hadn't seen that one yet.
No,
Mystery
I missed
Science
that
Theater
show.
Is so off the wall, it's unreal, so...
That's where I first
anyway,
saw Bride of the Monster. Anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Did you ever see the one where they had a character that looked just like Bill Clinton?
No, I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, it was just a throwaway line. I had the opportunity to meet Joel Hodgkin, the creator.
Oh, really?
Of, MST. Yeah, I did at Comic-Con.
I would have loved that.
Oh, we had a good conversation. That was fun. I'll have to send you the interview. I think I still have it.
Let me read that. I hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I got to meet him, and we talked for a little bit. We talked about some of the influences of Mystery Science Theater 3000. And if you look on the album, if you can find the old LP album of Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy by Elton John.
Elton John,
some of the
yeah.
inspiration for MST comes from that.
What, just the album cover, the album art?
I think it's on the inside cover. I think it folds out.
I'll have to take a look at that. I don't have it, but I'll find it. Yeah, we were talking wrestling at one point. The mixed match challenge, it's like I said, it's nothing serious. They're all having fun. I mean, you've got your heel characters, you got your face characters. They're all mixing and matching there, so nobody's really what you think they are. Everybody's just being themselves, more or less. And if they're wanting to play the heel, they're doing it for fun. And everybody's doing this for a charity. And I guess all of them look like they're just having a lot of fun doing it. And it's making me have fun watching them. I'm enjoying watching it because they are having so much fun doing this. They're making me have fun watching it. And that's what it should be all about. I mean, sports entertainment. That's what it should be all about, is entertainment.
Right.
That's what we're all here for.
Well, I appreciate the report on this, and we'll do some more, okay?
All righty. We get together again sometime.